One other sort of generic issue, and I've been fascinated by at least the effort I heard at Memorial. I'm guessing it might be other places, but I first heard about this from some people at Memorial about, because as you mentioned, you have this huge issue of, do you send them to a genetic counselor, particularly if they have no family history? And what I had learned from some of the people at Memorial is they now have a video sort of consent, and they hand an iPad to the patient in the waiting room, and they look at the video and they communicate the information that they think is essential just to go to that first step of whatever it's going to be, NGS or germline, et cetera. They try to explain it. And I'm just kind of curious what you think about that idea. Do you think it really needs to be a person, or at least in terms of this first step, do you think some type of video or patient education model would work?
I think that in an ideal world, we would be able to counsel patients, because I'll tell you, the information that the genetic counselors can provide and the questions they can answer from our patients are just beyond really what the vast majority of medical and gynecologic oncologists can handle. We can handle quite a bit, but they just do a better job. But there's just not enough of them. And so kind of baseline, some counseling is definitely required. You just can't send this test like I'm sending a blood test and I'll tell you what I find. There is counseling that's required. And there's nice data. The Memorial data you quoted is nice. There's actually even from more community-based practices, like the West Clinic in Memphis has done really nice work on point-of-care video counseling for BRCA testing, and then kind of followed up with patients to see, you know, what they took from that and did they feel they were appropriately counseled. And they've demonstrated that it's efficient to do in their clinic, that patients appreciate it, and they get the information that they need to make an informed choice about testing. And it doesn't require a separate appointment that often is sort of the stumbling block where we lose patients for testing when they have to follow up, you know, 6 weeks later. And there are other examples in both academic and community settings, busy GU and oncology practices. So I really like that. I think that if it could just be standardized so that every practice isn't having to kind of reinvent their wheel and create their own, that would be very useful and widely adopted. So I really like that. And I think we have enough data that patients find it adequate in terms of their initial counseling. And then if you find something, of course, they have got to be seen by a certified genetic counselor.
Right. What about the idea of sort of tele-genetic counseling? So you sort of FaceTime, webcam type thing, are those type of services available?
They are available. They're definitely available. Any kind of telemedicine can also be very useful. And again, patients find them very informative, especially when they have the nice technology where they can actually see the genetic counselor. And I think genetic counselors actually like doing that. It helps them reach more people. I think the unfortunate barrier to that really being widely available is just the ability to pay the genetic counselors for that service. It's just not something they can bill, which is ridiculous, but that's just sort of where we are. So if that could be overcome, then I think that would open up genetic counseling across many oncologic and non-oncologic disorders so that patients could get access to the counseling that they need.